kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get this hour underway. It is a Thursday, May 29th, with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, the returning Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Text line open at 960-960. Also, welcome to Power Play at South Center Mall. That's where Flames Talk's coming at you for this hour. We're talking about the absolutely massive, all-encompassing experience. Arcade games, baseball sims, golf sims, game rooms. They got the bowling alley, the cinema experience. You got to come check this place out. We're at Power Play here at South Center Mall this hour. Hello, Wes. How we doing?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. You?
Good, man. Welcome back. It's good to have you back.
It's too bad we have to talk on the radio. I'd kind of like to go hit some fastballs or something.
Yeah, I'd like to see you take a couple rips in the cage.
Take a couple cuts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Been a while since I hit anything that didn't have one of those high slow pitch arcs on it.
Hey, you're talking about somebody who struck out in slow pitch once. struck out swinging.
At least you didn't go down looking.
Struck out swinging. Three massive cuts with about four massive scooters of Mick Ultra in me. Yeah, that didn't do so well.
Trying to impress somebody with the long ball, or
just
what was going on?
Trying to impress the entire team. It was, and boy, I impressed them in a different way. Just ask Jeff Glass and Barry Brust and John Bender. They all saw it with their own two eyes.
All right. There's some athletic prowess on that team.
Yeah, and me.
Well, I didn't say everyone was athletic.
Where do things sit right now with the Flames and their goaltending situation? Let's dive in on that for the first part of this hour, and then more goaltending with Kevin Woodley in the back half of this hour. But here we are, end of May. Dan Vladar still hasn't signed. He just finished a really impressive outing at the World Championship with Team Czech Republic, or Czechia. You know, we're just over a month from unrestricted free agency, and there's still no contract for Dan Vladar, which is notable. Flames have been connected this week with some reports out of Russia to CSKA Moscow goaltender Ivan Prosvetov. Looks like he'll be coming back to the NHL next season after a year away. This year spent some time, put up really good numbers in both the playoffs and the regular season with CSKA Moscow and the KHL. But Prosvetov looks like he is planning on being back in the NHL next season. And so there has been a connection made from some Russian outlets to the Flames. Now, from what I understand, I think the Flames are in the mix on this guy, but by no means is anything signed, sealed, or delivered at this point. But I think that where there's smoke, there's fire when it comes to them being in the mix, and whether or not they're the team that ends up landing him. From what I understand from a few people I've spoken to is that there are a number of other teams that are interested in bringing him over. So, you know, Prosvetov has got the option to choose some spots, but I think the Flames are obviously one of those teams that is trying to bring him in.
Yeah, and let's start there. Here's what we know. Ivan Prosvetov, and if you recognize the name, sort of spot duty through four NHL seasons, three seasons with the Arizona Coyotes, obviously now Utah Hockey Club, one season with the Colorado Avalanche, never more than 11 NHL appearances in a season. So he's either been a backup or a bit of a tweener. But there's now been reports out of Russia that he was able to opt out of his contract in Moscow for another run at the NHL. And so I think where we're at, you know, based on my ability to translate Russian online and the websites that I've been allowed on. Essentially, there are reports out of Russia that the Flames could be the top contender for his services. Certainly not the only contender, but one of the primary ones. And I think that could come from just looking at what the potential opportunity would be. But the dot that we can easily connect is if the Flames are sniffing around on Presvetov, it's because they expect another guy to potentially leave, right? So, this could be a contingency plan if Dan Vladar is not sticking around.
So Vladar went to the Worlds and was focused on the World Championship for a number of weeks. But I'm with you. I mean, it is very clear. It's an indication as to where things sit on the Vladar front.
Sure. And,
as of right now, my kind of the feel is that there's really nothing imminent or close on the Vladar front as it is right now on May 29th. Now, things can change over the next month. I guess what I would tell you is where we are on May 29th is exactly where we were on April 17th. And by that, I mean the Flames would like Dan Vladar to be back in the fold next year. If they had their way, I think the Flames, their number one choice would be to have Dan Vladar as their tandem mate for Dustin Wolf next year. They really, really like the way that worked, and they especially like the way Vladar picked up his game in the back stretch. There's a comfort level there in the locker room. There's a comfort level there on the ice with his teammates. So I don't think that has changed. The Flames would like to have Dan Vladar back in the fold. But as we've said all along, the one fly in the ointment has been Vladar and what his camp wants to do. And is there a desire on the Vladar side of things to go look for other opportunities, maybe more playing time?
You made an interesting comparison when you and I chatted off air. Would you share that?
Yeah, because if you're the Flames, you can't get caught out. And the Flames went through a similar situation a year ago with Oliver Shillington, where the Flames wanted Shillington back. They were very clear that we'd like to have you back in the fold. They offered the types of contracts they were comfortable putting on the table. The Shillington camp felt like maybe there was more opportunity elsewhere, and they decided not to take those contracts. They decided not to accept them, and he went to a free agency when it was all said and done. A potential deal with one team didn't come to pass, and then he had to wait a little bit and eventually signed with Colorado, and then ended up, where is he right now? Did he finish? He finished in Anaheim?
Yeah.
So it was a rough year for Shillington.
Yeah, it did not. The gamble, the money, you know, a sort of bonus-oriented contract that he could have had in Calgary, he wound up, leaving a whole bunch of money on the table, but also passing up what I think would have been a pretty good opportunity and not seeing the playing time that he would have.
And the reason I bring that up is because the Flames tried for a few months to get Shillington to sign, but as things went along and it became somewhat clear that maybe this wasn't going to get signed between then and free agency opening, they had to move to kind of their plan B or move to their contingency plans, right? And hey, if the guy that we have internally isn't going to stay, we need to start looking external, and that's when they went to Jake Bean,
right?
And that's where the Jake Bean contract came into play, and obviously, as we know, they signed him officially on July 1st. And so I think that's maybe what we're seeing right now from a Flame standpoint is not a full pivot, because there's still a little bit more than a month until free agency opens. But over the next number of weeks, I think they're going to have to make a call as if there is something on the Flame side of things for Vladar that they would like to see get done, but it's not being reciprocated from Vladar's side, then they're going to have to move to their next plan, and maybe that is somebody like Presvetov or another external goalie. I think that the plan would be, and the plan all along has been, if the Flames don't bring Vladar back for whatever reason, then they would go out, get another external goalie, and have that goalie and Devin Cooley battle it out for Dustin Wolf's backup next year. So I think that is kind of the other plan. Vladar would be the plan that they would like, because there's that comfort level and that familiarity with number 80. If Dan is, and totally his right, if he would rather go and see what else is out there, maybe there's a chance for them to double back when free agency's open, like Nikita Zadorov did a number of years ago, but maybe the Flames have found their contingency plan. So I think what this report out of Russia tells you, and the fact that, you know, we can both tell you that the Flames are in that mix for him.
Yeah.
The reason that they would be sniffing around a guy like that would be because they understand there's a chance Vladar's not coming back at this point.
The reason, and I'm glad you shared it, the reason I like the Shillington comparison so much is that the season ended and Oliver Shillington said, yeah, I'd really like to be back in Calgary, and it made perfect sense that the Flames would want him to stick around. And that was exactly the case with Dan Vladar, right? I just went and looked at the quotes that I'd transcribed from locker cleanout day, and he said, yeah, we've been talking contract basically all season. He reiterated many times throughout the year that he'd like to stick around Calgary, and so as we sit here on May 29th, you kind of wonder why it's not done yet. And is it not done because Dan Vladar is having second thoughts on whether he thinks he'll have enough of an opportunity in Calgary? Is he looking at maybe a chance somewhere to be more of a 1B rather than a 2 behind Dustin Wolf? You know, is it a simple matter of dollars and cents? You know, is there some disagreement between the Flames and Dan Vladar in terms of what might be his worth? What might be his value on his next deal? Is it coming down to term? You know, we've talked a lot about the free agent goalie market, and there's not a lot of positive words you can use to describe it, right? It's a very thin free agent goalie market. And so does Dan Vladar, who can be one of the top options on that thin market, want to see whether he can, quote unquote, cash in on how thin the market is this year? Whatever the reason, there was this deal that seemed to make too much sense, and yet here we are just over a month from UFA Day, and it's still not done. And I think the reason, as you put it, that you're hearing the reports about their interest in Presvedov, the, you know, reports you might hear about some other names pop up, it's because they need a contingency plan. Yep. They can't get left.
They can't get caught out.
No,
right?
Especially at
even
that
more
position.
So with this one.
Yeah.
Then, and that's no knock on Devin Cooley, who is not persona non grata. I know that Devin had a rougher second half of the season compared to his stellar first half.
Mm-hmm.
But they signed Cooley for a reason. He's on a one-way contract in year two of his deal next season for a reason, because they see him as a potential nice piece as well. But I think that if Vladar is not going to be here, they want somebody to be in camp to battle it out with him, and somebody that if whoever wins that battle in camp,
yeah,
falters in the regular season, they have somebody else to maybe try out a little bit later on. Look, we know whose team this is between the pipes. The Flames need contingency plans if they're not going to get Dan Vladar back. And as much as Dan Vladar is the guy they'd like to have with Dustin Wolf next year, they need to know at some point in the next number of weeks, or they need to set themselves a deadline in the next number of weeks and say, okay, it's not happening with Dan. Let's move to this plan. And that's why, again, we're talking about Presvedov,
yeah,
who with the Russian reports. And again, Cooley had himself a decent season. I think they would like to have options when it comes to their backup. And if it's not Vladar, if Cooley wins a competition in training camp and then falters in the season, you can make a switch, and vice versa for whoever else they would sign, whether it's this player or somebody else. I think that's kind of where things sit right now with this team's goaltending situation. Is they'd still like Dan Vladar to be back, but much like Oliver Shillington, it was around this time last year where you started to feel like, yeah, they'd like him back, but maybe this thing isn't going to happen. And we know the Flames put a few contracts on the table, a few different things on the table to Shillington and his camp, and it didn't end up going through. And at this point, the Flames, I believe, have put some things on the table for Dan Vladar, and they haven't been accepted or agreed upon as of yet. And you can only go to a certain extent if you're the Flames before you have to say, well, okay, this is our final, this is what we're willing to do. This is beyond fair. If you want to have a conversation on it, let's do that. If not, we have to explore other options. And so we're starting, I think, to move into that threshold point right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would characterize the rumored interest in Ivan Presvedov. And we know certainly that they're, as you put it, the Flames are in that mix. It's not you know, the rumored interest is not coming from nowhere.
Yeah.
I think what that tells you is that, yeah, it is a thin UFA market, and they might have to look in maybe a more non-traditional answer if it's not going to be Dan Vladar. Now, if you go look at Prosvetov's NHL stats, you're not going to be blown away. I think he had an .881 save percentage. I think it was a .370 goals against. I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me. Again, sorry, now I do, .370. So .370 and .881. Those numbers aren't going to blow you away, and yet Flames director of goaltending Jordan Sigalet has been really good at identifying talent. It's been a strength for the Flames organization.
That's why the Flames can do. That's why the Flames are willing to be like, hey, this is what we're comfortable paying. This is what we're comfortable putting on the table.
Yeah.
And they're not just going to keep on chasing it to try to convince a guy because of the faith they've got in Jordan Sigalet and his department.
Yeah, and I do think that maybe the pressure is a little bit different than it was a few years ago. You see some really good goaltending options on the waiver wire right before a season starts, and you might see Devin Cooley if he loses the competition at camp hit the waiver wire. You know, there's good goalies available, and so, you know, if you take a swing and you miss, you have a chance to, I think, sort of erase that mistake. But I couldn't agree more with the way you've laid it out on Vladar, that it feels a little bit like we saw with Oliver Shillington, where...
And I know the Flames played that as best they could, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at some point, you have to stop putting more on the table and tell a player, okay, are you going to accept this or not? And I don't know what's happening with Dan Vladar negotiations, but if their plan is to just kind of sit and hope that Craig Conroy, you know, kind of continues to stack his chips, well, you really need to have a contingency plan.
Like I know that that they've had talks, and whatever the talks have been, they haven't resulted in a contract as of yet.
Yeah,
and I do know the Flames are being very forthright and transparent when they say we'd like to have Dan Vladar back in the fold. You know, obviously it has to make sense for the team still.
Yes.
But I do think at the very least we're seeing that there is to some extent a desire for the Vladar camp to start to find out what other feelers might be out there.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Vladar is for sure out the door in Calgary? No, it does not. And I don't think the door is closed as of yet, but it is May 29th, and there are rumors of the Flames being tied to other goalies.
Yes.
So we're starting to move into that threshold.
And if you're Craig Conroy, you probably don't mind this rumor, right? You're trying to get an answer, it sure feels like, from Dan Vladar's camp on whether, despite the public expressions of wanting to be in Calgary, are you willing to take one of these deals that's on the table? And so we probably don't hate that we're sitting here today wondering about this report out of Russia. You probably don't hate that people are talking about other options, because maybe that becomes the deadline that kind of eases the logjam in the Vladar negotiations. And if not, at least, you know, okay, we got to move on. We got to pivot.
And just talking to some people in the hockey world outside of the Flames organization over the last 48 hours, some agents and stuff like that. Yeah, the feeling is that that's kind of what's happening right now, is that the Vladar camp is seeing what else is out there. There's only so much you can do before July 1st, but there's a lot you can do before July 1st.
He could quite possibly be the most appealing goalie option to some teams on the UFA market.
Yeah, I mean, there are 12 UFA goalies this year. Ville Husso, Jake Allen, Vitek Vanacek, Alexander Georgiev, Anton Forsberg, Marc-Andre Fleury, Ilya Samsonov, James Reimer, David Riddick, Alex Lyon, Chris Drieger, and Dan Vladar.
Guys is retiring.
Yes, Marc-Andre Fleury is retiring. He is an unrestricted free agent, so there are 11 free agent goalies.
Yeah. And not a lot of names that are going to put a team over the hump.
Yeah.
And that's fair of Dan Vladar, too, but you know, as I put it to you in text as we were going back and forth from my flight home yesterday, you know, Dan Vladar has a very appealing and intriguing mix now of experience and upside. I could see why he'd want to test the market. It's just the Flames need to know.
Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson, along with you this hour on Flames Talk. Hey, how would you like to escape to the mountains in your very own $2.7 million Canmore villa? Yeah, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yes. Where do I sign for that?
Well, buy your tickets now for the Calgary Health Foundation Home Lottery Mountain Edition. The VIP prize deadline is midnight tomorrow, midnight Friday. Don't miss out on your shot at something epic. A 2025 Land Rover Defender supplied by Jaguar Land Rover Calgary. Or take $120,000 in cash. Luxury meets adventure in the ultimate Alberta-ready ride. Yeah, that Defender is going to treat you well over the summer, and of course the winter. Now, would you take the Land Rover? Would you take the cash? I don't know. It's pretty appealing either way. It's more than just a ticket to. It's building a healthy community. With your support, Calgary Health Foundation is investing in breakthroughs in continuing care communities to ensure more firsts in continuous care in Southern Alberta. Buy your tickets now for the Calgary Health Foundation Home Lottery Mountain Edition at CalgaryMountainHomeLottery.com. Early bird deadline is midnight tomorrow.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you. It is a Thursday, which means it's time to check in with our goaltending expert, Kevin Woodley, who joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now. Kevin from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Lots to talk about between the pipes. It's funny. Right now we're hanging out at Power Play here, Kevin. TV's everywhere, and there's Stuart Skinner's mug on the TV. We'll get to Skinner in just a second with the Edmonton Oilers, a win away from the Stanley Cup Finals. But first of all, did you survive your trip to Edmonton? You're good to go. You made it out of Edmonton.
I made it out alive. The weather got better. I know the Calgary folks don't want to hear that it ended up beautiful in Edmonton, and the vibes were pretty good around the hockey team and just being downtown as all that was going on. And my daughter's volleyball team had a tough first day, so they got knocked out of top tier, which didn't get a chance to go for the national championship they wanted, but they won their tier, finished with a medal, finished with smiles, finished her playing career with a dub at that level. So it was a good weekend all around, guys.
Okay, good to hear. Before we dive in on what's happening on the ice right now, I thought, you know, we just spent some time talking about Calgary's goalie situation and where things potentially stand. And it all kind of stems from some reports connecting the Flames and other teams to KHL goalie Ivan Prosvetov, who spent last year with CSKA Moscow but has got plenty of time in the NHL prior to that. Sounds like he'll be coming back to North America next season. What can you tell us about Prosvetov and kind of what some of the numbers have told you about his, albeit not a giant sample size, but about his NHL time so far?
Well, I would encourage, if indeed he ends up signing in Calgary and people want to get to know him, just Google In Goal Radio and his name. And we had him for a good 40 minutes on the show. Let's say it was not this past season, but the season before that. And talking about his path, and really a guy who I think might fit the mold of late bloomer when you get to talk to him. I mean, he's got athleticism. He's got prototypical NHL goalie size that everybody's looking for. And yet when you talk to him, there wasn't a system. Like, he didn't have a plan. He didn't have a sort of this is what I do in this situation type of system that a lot of NHL goaltenders have. And it wasn't until his last couple of years in the league over here that he sort of started to develop one. And to me, that's encouraging, right? Like, there's still growth there. In terms of the numbers, you know, the first 2 years over here when he was in the NHL, it wasn't pretty, tiny samples. But in that last year with Colorado, obviously the first two with Arizona, that last year in Colorado, I saw something in the underlying numbers that frankly had me surprised he didn't get more opportunities at a time when they were looking for some saves, and then really surprised me that they moved on from him. Now, when you watch him play, as he sort of implements his system and gets comfortable with it, it's not always fluid. It's not always pretty. It can be a little choppy at times. but there's definitely a skill set there. And I would think that as he gets more comfortable with the idea of playing a system, that some of those things might get more refined and a little smoother and a little less, for lack of a better term, because this probably isn't fair to him, but to the naked eye at times clunky. And so, you know, he was linked, started working with a goalie coach over in Russia, Oleg Romashko, because this is one of the problems that he had in his time with the Coyotes, is he'd go back to Russia in the summer and he'd have nobody to work with. And so I think it was Zach Burke who set him up with Oleg Romashko. And Oleg's a disciple of Ian Clark. And so some of the post-play stuff, some of the integration, some of the system-based stuff that he started to learn there, I thought you start to see it come out in the NHL a little bit in that final season. And again, I was a little surprised when he ended up going back to Russia. So where he was in Russia, I believe that would put him with Rashid Davidov, who is the goalie coach who worked with Sorokin and worked with Shesterkin. And so I wouldn't be at all surprised if he unlocked a few more keys. So there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of potential. And a guy that I think, you know, without having seen video of him recently, kind of fits that late bloomer mold, and wouldn't be surprised if he comes over here and has some success.
Okay. That's some good insight. We'll see where that story goes as we move through the next number of weeks. Kev, we got Game 5 of the Western Conference Final on Thursday night. The Oilers with an opportunity to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals and give us a rematch of last year with the Panthers and the Oilers once again. And this Stuart Skinner playoff story has been one for the ages, a roller coaster ride for the ages. What are some of the underlyings telling you about Skinner? And maybe more importantly, the thing that you've talked about every time we've talked about Stu Skinner over the last number of weeks and months, the defensive environment in front of him.
So both things can be true. Like, he's been exceptional. And I think part of that is because they're limiting the chances that tend to plague him the most or give him the most trouble. And obviously, anytime if you give up a bunch of chances that don't fit your goalie's strengths, two things happen. The puck goes in more often, for starters, and B, kind of erodes his confidence. And so he deserves a ton of credit. And I've always been a fan, I do regular shows in Edmonton, of his mindset and that constant growth mindset, his ability to sort of shake things off and just sort of reset himself. And I think the goalie coach there deserves credit too, because anytime you have a guy get beat up as badly as he did in those first two against LA, miss that much time, be in the spotlight as much as he is, and then come back in and look as in control and back on top of his fundamentals, everybody deserves a ton of credit. That's not easy to do. And he's doing it. And so those strengths, staying over his knees, being big, that frame that he has when he's in position, when it's in zone play, spot-to-spot goaltending, He has the ability to play at a really, really high level. And he is right now. Since sort of game four, so not the first game back against Vegas, that was a little loose for the team and him. But from there on, sort of after, so I guess it would be games four and five against Vegas and then throughout this.
Yep.
He's been in such control. And there are two things that go into that. There's his game. He's number one in the NHL in goals saved above expected since that time. And that's the way he's playing in zone play. The high danger stuff, when it's in zone, he is handling it. And they are not forcing him to deal with much off the rush. That is so crucial. Vegas and Dallas, two of the best rush teams in the NHL in the regular season. He has faced, in those past six games now, or I guess, yeah, six games, 10 high danger chances off the rush. And six of them were in game one against Dallas. And what happened to the score that night, right? So the one blip in terms of allowing them is the one night where the score got crooked. Every other game where they're down 1-2, the other game zero high danger off the rush, it allows him to continue to build confidence. They're not allowing teams to go after his weakness relative, you know, again, I always use weakness, but it's a relative weakness, and that's rush play and skating. And so if you keep it in zone, he is capable of doing what he's doing right now, which is building a story that's not only great narrative-based, you know, but starting to get him into that Conn Smythe conversation if he can keep it up, like shutouts, you know, one goal against, you know, elite numbers. But again, it's because it reminds me of Aiden Hill, right? Like, Aiden Hill was full value, could have been a Conn Smythe winner for the Vegas Golden Knights, stopped a ton of high danger. So is Stu. But what Vegas never did was allow teams to get to the high danger that gave them the biggest problems. And right now, that's what the Edmonton Oilers are doing for Stuart Skinner. And he's repaying them by taking care of everything else.
Yeah.
That's an amazing transition, isn't it? From they got to get this guy out, go with the backup, to Conn Smythe conversation. And what's it been, 4 weeks?
Well, and the other part of that, too, is that, like, they were so far from their game in those first two against the Kings. And I talked about this, and people pushed back and said, oh, you always got the goalies back. Like, yeah, he should have made more tough saves, or you're allowed to stop the tough ones. But the degree of difficulty that they were giving up looked like nothing like the team that went to the Cup final. Pickard comes in, they batten down the hatches defensively, right. They rediscover that identity, and this is what happens.
We're chatting with Kevin Woodley. He is our goaltending expert. He joins us from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. He joins us on Thursdays here on Flames Talk on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Wes?
Kevin, if we switch from Skinner to the other half of the goaltending equation in the Western Conference Final, as the Dallas Stars now slide into one or done mode, what are we seeing from Jake Oettinger?
I think we're seeing a team in Edmonton that has a really good pre-scout. I don't necessarily know that Jake Oettinger's doing anything wrong. He was really good in the second round of the playoffs. I talked about, you know, how far above expected. But the reality is, like every goalie has strengths and weaknesses. And it's not just sort of being able to get to them as a team and attack them. It's taking advantage of the moments where the other team gives you the chance. And every time Edmonton gets a scoring chance, they're putting it in the exact spot I would write it up, right? Like, they are making life so hard on him. Anytime he flattens out, they shoot far side. Anytime they get into one-on-one situations, mid-range shots, they're shooting just over the pad, not high glove. Like, they seem to really be paying close attention to sort of the do's and don'ts of how to beat Jake Oettinger. And every goalie has them. And I just think when you have that much talent coming at you with the pace that they come at you, and they all sort of are paying attention to the quote unquote book, the way the Oilers are, man, like, that's just, I just see a guy who's, you know, I just see a guy who's facing a team that is hitting its spots with a consistency and a precision that would make it really tough on any goalie. And the thing is, like, those spots would be different on a different goalie, but after all the meetings they have, they've done their homework, and they just seem to be going after, you know, pucks around the net, trying to get them on wraps, and if you don't have them on a wrap, pop low high pop pass, you know, things that take advantage of some of his positional aggression, not north south, but east west outside of his post. He has a tendency at times to get outside of his post and a little flat in his retreat, and then he has a very distinct sort of lowering into his save stance where he goes from that tall to that lowered save stance. We saw it on the Draisaitl goal on the one-timer off the rush on the power play the other day. As soon as he widened out from sort of tall to a save stance, Nugent Hopkins is moving the puck. And if you wait till a goalie gets into that save stance before you make the pass, it makes it so much more difficult for him to move again, to go east-west. And you saw, you know, almost like a little hiccup, like a little wiggle with the left skate where he had to sort of correct himself, pull him back, and try and reestablish angle. And he can't do it in time because Draisaitl gets rid of it right away. I just think they're going to town on the pre-scout. And, you know, in ways, to be honest with you, that I don't think the Stars have done a good enough job against Skinner, because they've had rush chances. They just don't turn them into high danger. And so I think this is a hat tip to the Oilers' talent. I think it's a hat tip to the Oilers' pre-scout, probably, again, to their goalie coach for building it, because it just feels like every relative weakness Oettinger might have, they are targeting it in space.
Kevin, not only do you know everything there is to know about every NHL goalie, but I know that you've got some other levels covered too, and so I want to ask you about a very heartwarming story at the junior level. The Medicine Hat Tigers have now clinched a spot, already won a Western Hockey League championship, have already clinched a spot in the Memorial Cup final, and there is an absolutely terrific, heartwarming story between the pipes in Harrison Menigan. And I'm sorry if I butchered that last name, but why don't you tell us a little bit about Harrison and why this is such a special story that fans can track as they look ahead to Sunday's Memorial Cup final?
Yeah, I'm going to need to take a deep breath on this one because the reason I know Harrison and his story, it really isn't, you know, I appreciate the kudos, Wes, but I find it difficult at times to keep up with the Western League and the lower leagues and the draft. Like, there's just too many goalies. But Harrison Menigan's a young man who I've known since kindergarten. My oldest daughter and him were in elementary school from kindergarten to grade 7. My youngest daughter and his younger sister, Georgia, were in grade school together from kindergarten to grade 7. And so we got to know Harrison. We got to know the family. And unfortunately, at his last regular season game, for those that aren't familiar with the story, in Calgary, playing the Hitmen, mom and dad were there to watch, and his father, Derek, had a heart attack in the stands and passed away. And so for this young man to do what he's doing, and the talent's been there, Tampa wisely picks him as an overager second time through the draft last year in the 7th round, signed him recently. You talk to kids around the WHL, like they he's one of those guys that they identify as somebody they don't want to face, somebody that's hard to beat. And so that's there's the technical, there's the physical, there's the tools, there's the size, there's all that. But we rarely get to measure these young athletes in terms of their determination, their mental strength, their will. And I think what you're seeing here is a remarkable example of all of those elements in Harrison, of the human spirit, for him to go back to the team in the playoffs, got a shutout in his first game, Willie Desjardins and the Medicine Hat Tigers flying out, or the team flying out a large number of his teammates for the service, the funeral service and the memorial afterwards, which I was at. Seeing, and this isn't always the case in junior, I think everybody wished it was, but it isn't. But seeing the family supported that way, seeing how Medicine Hat as an organization is a family and they support their own, was really special. And so then to see him continue this run, WHL playoff MVP, into the Memorial Cup, into the final, I know he's got a lot of people in this neck of the woods pulling for him. On a lot of different levels, and I know his dad's looking down really proud right now. Like I said, was always there for him, with him for a big part of this journey, and I know he's with him right now, and it just makes he's a special young man, and this is a special story, and regardless of how it ends, just his ability to do something that I know I couldn't do, to get through it the way he has and use that to sort of anchor himself, you know, in the crease and in his mind through some really difficult times is just a remarkable show of character.
I appreciate so much, Kev, you sharing that. And you're right. I think his dad would be awfully, awfully proud of what his son has shown. And not just between the pipes, but in all facets over these past couple of months.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I said, like we don't cheer in the media. We don't cheer for teams. I always get that question, right? Like, who's your favorite team? We cheer for good people and good stories. Yep. The Menigans and Harrison are as good as they come, and that's as good a story. So let's hope they finish it off on Sunday. Regardless, it's still a remarkable triumph of, like I said, of the human spirit and the ability to sort of battle through some. Again, I couldn't imagine the emotions that he's been through over the past couple of months. To settle in and play the way he's played is just, it's inspirational.
Kev, really appreciate the time and the candor and all of the insight that you always bring to the table. Great stuff, my friend. We will reconvene next week. For now, enjoy the end of the West Final and the start of the Stanley Cup Final. Be well, my friend. Thanks for doing this, hey?
And the Memorial Cup on Sunday, guys, for sure. It's getting
and
a little dusty
here.
The Memorial
Cup on Sunday.
Yeah. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Stop chopping onions, hey? That was awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Kev. Be well, hey?
Thanks, guys.
Kevin Woodley, In-Goal Magazine, NHL.com. He's our goaltending expert, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline this hour. Serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. As we start to wrap things up this hour on the program, Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson from Power Play at South Center Mall. Thanks to Sam and Connor here at Power Play, Cam Hughes, Riley Clark back at Sportsnet 960 World Control. And we start to wrap things up this hour. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale is on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.